In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that, yes, we do champion the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio. And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your first dates.
Ever struggling for that bra strap of comic bookdom.
Comic-dom. Com-dom. All right, Chris. Great to be back here doing our weekly radio show program about comic books and how and local comic book shops.
Yes, absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
Championing the local comic book shop.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Well, you're looking a little tired today, Walt. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, Chris.
Yeah, all right.
You know, dentists aren't fun.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Very true.
Right. That's all I'll say.
All right. Well, let's, you know what? Let's. Why don't we just jump right into it and.
Let's jump.
Might as well jump.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say jump there.
Is this on?
Anyways.
All right.
All right. New this week. Do you have a sponsor for new this week?
Of course I do, Chris.
Oh, well, go ahead.
New this week is brought to you by the Joe Shuster Awards. Joe Shuster Awards rewarding Canada's talent and, I might add, with their Harry Kramer Retailer Award.
Yes.
Rewarding the local comic book shop.
Oh, how about that? Once again, championing the local comic book shop.
And the Joe Shuster Awards champion the local comic
book
shop, too.
They really do.
So
yes.
Good on them.
Yes, absolutely.
All the guys down there. Who's still involved in the Shusters? That's Kevin Boyd.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Rob Haynes.
So, no, Rob's gone.
Rob has retired. He was on way too long, if you ask
me. And Kevin Boyd is the currently is the president, but I believe he's done it for 5 years now. And in the charter for the Joe Shuster Awards program and the foundation, a person can only maintain the title of president for 5 years.
Wow.
So I believe they're in the process
it's all up in
of
the air.
Has to go to elections.
Wow.
Yeah.
Elections.
Just like yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
But we don't want to get in. We're not going to talk about that. Yeah, we're not talking about politics.
Listen, did you know Kevin is the president, but he's also a client?
Hey, wow. How about that?
That's I know.
Good. All right. Let's talk about comics here. We're going to start today off with Marvel.
It's a good place to start.
For the Marvel comic, I've got the Deadpool number one. This is a great comic. You know, I so much fun. Where else but in a Deadpool comic do you get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a giant Godzilla-type-looking creature, and zombies-type characters all in the same comic? Yes, that would have to be Deadpool. And so this is the one that's it's the new now number one, written by Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And with art by Terry Moore. So Posehn. And and you know what? And the cover is awesome. It's by Jeff Darrow. Where else would you ever see a cover by Jeff Darrow doing a Deadpool comic? It looks awesome. Love it.
Mm, very good. That's what is? It? Oh yeah, that's the Marvel Now Deadpool number one.
Yeah.
They also have like all these number ones.
The other one that I didn't choose this one, but the other number one that came out today was there's an Iron Man number.
Yeah, the Iron Man number one. But I also saw on the Deadpool. I saw the Deadpool. They have that all white.
Yeah,
cover.
The sketch cover.
The sketch cover.
So you can buy that one and then get someone to go and sketch on the top on the
right,
cover.
Right.
So
you go to a convention or something
which actually
and you get the Deadpool. Maybe this guy. Who's this guy again?
Jeff Darrow did the cover.
Okay, yeah. And get him to do one on that blank one.
Yes, and you know what? We'll get into this a little bit later on, but there's all kinds of stuff on eBay with there's a Hero Initiative.
Yeah.
They're actually auctioning off a bunch of Fantastic Four number 400 covers, sketch covers.
Oh, really?
And some of them look amazing with Dr. Doom on the cover, mm-hmm. and there's one with Thing punching out the Hulk, and all kinds of great covers. I won't mention anything else right now, but later on, I want to talk about the art benefit for the Sandy Relief. So, but we'll get
Excellent.
Into that in a minute. So,
all right. So, Deadpool number one from Marvel Comics at your local comic book shop today.
Yes. Okay. So then, for DC, we've got Legends of the Dark Knight number 2. Now, this is a really wacky looking comic. I don't know how else to describe it. You know, it's written by B. Claymore and art by Ben Templesmith. Now, Ben Templesmith was the artist on 30 Days of Night.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has that crazy kind of Arkham mm-hmm. Asylum. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Arkham Asylum graphic novel by Grant Morrison?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
What's that guy's name?
Grant Morrison's buddy.
Oh, no. Jeez, I can't remember it now. It'll come to me. But anyways, it has that same sort of feeling to it. It's awesome-looking comic, and it's kind of weird-looking. It's got identity weirdness all over it. Like, it's even called Crisis in Identity. So people are taking off their masks. You're not really too sure is whom and all that kind of stuff.
Right on. All right, cool.
Dave McKean. Sorry,
yeah,
I had to think about
that's
that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now,
Legends of the Dark Knight number 2. Now,
yes.
Remember Legends of the Dark Knight? The only thing I remember about Legends of the Dark Knight, remember it was in the 90s?
Yeah, the four
those
covers.
Stupid ass
glow-in-the-dark covers.
Glow-in-the-dark covers with 7 or 8 different colors.
Yeah, there was four of them.
Was it four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then
it seemed like 7
Yeah,
or 8.
I know. But they were like really weird colors. There was like a bright green, a bright
pink.
Yeah,
a lime, a
yeah,
pink.
Yeah,
yeah that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. And they never amounted to anything.
No,
right?
No, of course not.
Oh,
no.
All right.
So now I've got another DC comic here, and I'm only bringing it up because, it's before Watchmen, with Moloch number one.
Moloch
number one of 2, and I bring it up because does anybody care? Like, you know what? Has anybody said 2 words about the Before Watchmen line of comics?
Other than more bitching about them
yeah.
still?
Yeah, like really. Like, I mean, nobody, I have, you know, I follow all the boards. I, you know, look at all that stuff and
yeah.
I talk to people about comics.
Yeah.
And nobody is saying boo about all this Before Watchmen
boo.
Stuff.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's almost like an anti event.
Yeah, you know, and I flipped through this one here. The cover, the comic is by Straczynski and Eduardo Rizzo does the interiors.
Yep.
And I gotta say, you know, I realize it's his art style, but I felt like I was reading a 100 bullets.
Yeah.
It's got like girls in bras all over the place, and it's a little risque at times. I just felt like I was. It just had that same kind of feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's too bad. I mean, like, people had high hopes, I guess. I mean, you know what? I guess what I'll say, I mean, who was it? Darwin Cook that started it off, right?
Yes.
And people were loving that.
Yeah,
You know what? Let's wait till it's all over.
Fair enough. And
they'll be collected. I mean, what Watchmen really didn't really take off until the collections came out and people really
yeah,
enjoyed
you're right.
the complete
you're
stories
right.
and
yeah.
stuff. So, yeah, but I don't know.
And well,
go ahead.
And I'm just going to say, like, as far as, you know, Darwin Cook did some great issues, and Adam Hughes
yeah.
was a big
yeah.
one, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It just seems like, what have you done for me lately?
Well, the thing, again, I don't want to stay on this too long, but the Before Watchmen, how many titles are there? Like 6, 7, 8?
Yeah.
Right? And I guess at the end of the day, they can't all be winners.
Well, they're all, like, and there's 8, and then there's, what, how many issues for each one? It's
right.
Like there's just
yeah.
one, right?
Right.
All right, anyway, DC,
lots from DC today, not just these two, tons and tons at your local comic book shop today. Check it out.
Okay, and finally for the non-Marvel and non-DC comic I've got here, this is from Image, and it's called Storm Dogs. Now, initially, I got to say, it's script by David Hine, and the art is by Doug Braithwaite, who are both great creators in their own right. You know, initially, I flipped through this comic, and it kind of reminds me of Alien, the movie Alien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's these guys, even their astronaut type suits reminiscent of Alien.
Right.
They go to a planet and there's like people are dying in these astronaut type suits, and it just reminded me of the movie Alien.
Right on.
There's more to it than that. I gotta say, I did like it. I thought it was an interesting book, but and the art is really fantastic too. But you know what? I'm although I liked number one, I don't know if it's going to go far enough to where it might be great.
Right,
And as I said, you know, the first issue did put me off a little bit because it did remind me too much of Ridley Scott's Alien.
Fair enough. All right. Storm Dogs, number one from Image Comics at your local comic book shop today. Please head into your local comic shop. Tons of new stuff hitting the shelves today.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break for a musical interlude. Here's one I don't play very often, but I should probably play more. Black Sabbath's Iron Man.
Chris, that's heavy. That's nice
that
and
good.
Heavy.
That
sets
good.
The tone.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Sets, oh, I love
sets
Iron Man.
The tone for our show?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
And I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they use that song in the first Iron Man movie?
They did, yes, yeah. They did.
Yeah. When did they use it?
They used it, well, they used it in the trailer, for
right.
one.
Yeah.
But I believe they also, I could be thinking of the trailer. I don't know if they used it during the actual movie. I can't remember. But if they did, it was when he first escapes out of the, wherever
Afghanistan,
he was, Afghanistan
or whatever,
or wherever it happened to be.
So, now, I would imagine Black Sabbath, Tony and the boys were getting royalties.
I'm sure they were.
Imagine Ozzy, who's like fried out of his mind right now. So, what's this money for then?
Throw it on the pile.
Throw it on the pile. All right, good
shit, Sean! Yeah. Throw it on the pile.
Listen, these guys are just kind of were young rockers. They cared about nothing except making hard music, and they're just cashing it in right now.
Snorting red ants.
Right.
Yeah,
and they're cashing it in right
they
now.
They are. They are. Good for them.
Good for them.
Absolutely.
All right. Chris, let's...
we got Comic Culture Mailbag.
All right, Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Movember. Grow your mo... and support the Movember cause.
Support men's health awareness.
Men's health awareness.
Issues, yes.
Thanks. Yeah. We're Movember. So go out there and grow it, boy. Grow it.
There you go.
All right. Chris, anyway, so, here's the question.
Yeah, what's the question this week?
It's from Vance.
Vance.
Yeah,
hey,
Vance is in Timmins, Ontario.
Oh, all right.
Actually, he's freezing his butt off
it
up there.
Probably is
now.
By now, yeah. Well, it's probably
Vance
minus
is saying,
40.
Hey, I was in town on the weekend. And as soon as I walked into the shop, I heard Christmas music. Gah!
Oh.
Guys, when is it too early or too late to start playing Christmas music? I hate Christmas music. It's a good point.
It's a very good point. You know, Vance, it's a very good point.
Yeah. When should comic shops start playing Christmas music?
I don't think anybody should start playing Christmas music until December 1st.
But what if it's a comic-type themed Christmas music?
Okay, like
I don't know,
like Superman playing the bongos to
like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Okay,
you know, not like Bing or Dean or Sammy or those guys, but I'm talking about like, you know,
Spider-Man singing.
Yeah, comic book characters,
right.
That type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Can you get over there?
You know what?
Probably
sure.
Not.
Sure. You know, I would even say a month before Christmas is probably good. So even like the last couple weeks of last week of November. But you know what? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it now. I don't want to hear Christmas music now, and I certainly didn't want to hear it before Halloween.
Yeah,
and,
you're right. Well, I don't think anybody plays it before Halloween.
I went to a couple stores where they actually started playing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, those little losers.
I know. I'm telling you. And you know what? This is actually becoming a big topic. Gian Gomeshi was talking about this on either Facebook or something recently on his podcast, saying that he also agrees that, you know, Christmas music should not be played this early.
Right. So December 1st being the cutoff.
Well, okay, maybe not December, because even that only gives them just over 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So let's say
that's not enough. Phil.
Let's say it's November 25th or even November 20th.
This
right?
should be like an official start your Christmas music
I
day.
I agree.
And
yes.
There should be some sort of civil fines and for anybody not.
I agree.
Playing
them. I completely right. agree. You know
here's
what?
The problem.
Oh, there's a problem.
Here's a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the problem. So you're a retailer. You're out there. You're inviting people into your establishment. And
right.
And you're, you know, so you're all excited.
Yeah.
December, you're playing ghoulish music.
Yes.
You know, you're
in October.
Yeah. Did I say December?
Yeah.
I apologize.
Okay.
So, you know, you're all set. You're good.
Yeah.
Right. And then November 1st hits.
Yeah.
And Christmas is like, way so far away. Yeah. So you don't know what to do.
Yes.
So you're in that theme mode because of
but you're not really.
Halloween. Yes,
yeah.
You are.
Okay, you're in a theme mode. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because of the Halloween.
Yeah.
And then now you've got the Christmas coming up, but it's just a little. And then what do you do?
You know,
you need something. You need a filler.
You know what it is we need?
What?
U.S. Thanksgiving music. That's what we have to start coming up with.
That's all you can come up with?
Because the U.S. has their Thanksgiving in the middle of November, like towards the end of November.
Yeah.
So you need Thanksgiving music.
Thanksgiving music.
Turkey
can you name
day,
me?
Turkey
oh, so we have to come up with
yeah.
Thanksgiving. Oh, I
because,
see.
Because
that's
it can still
good.
Be the theme. It can still
right.
be the Thanksgiving
right.
theme. Or Black Market or Black Friday
Black
music.
Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Black Market, yeah. Black Christmas music. You can't play Christmas music, but you can play Black Christmas music.
That's
no,
a good
you know,
movie, Black
yeah,
Christmas. That's
I know.
A good movie.
Hey, I know the guy that owns the rights to that.
To Black Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Same guy that owns the rights to Hilarious House of Frightenstein.
Oh, do you know, and you know him?
Yeah.
No.
Went to school with him.
Get out of town.
Yeah. He'll claim he doesn't know me. That's understandable. Right? You know what? I got a better idea than your ideas.
Oh, all right.
My idea is better than your ideas.
Okay, let's hear it.
So as soon as November 1st comes along, you put Movember music on.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
You know, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Right.
He comes
oh,
on.
Oh, okay. So it's not music.
Freddie Mercury.
Right.
He
okay.
comes on. All those great mustache.
Great
singers.
Mustache.
Madonna.
Never
mind.
Yeah,
I
hear
gonna
you.
Do, never mind. Anyway, I won't go there. Yeah, so you need. So but my point is, you need something, you
right?
We don't have guidance.
Guidance.
yeah, we don't have guidance on what to do November 1st.
But you're absolutely right, yeah. And we need to have something. But I don't think Christmas music is the answer.
You're right, but
right.
there is no etiquette.
All right.
There's no established norm.
Well, I think we need to. You know what? Let's just have a quick music. Are we done with this topic?
Yeah, I think
okay.
I'm done.
Let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we'll come back with the regular kind of comic book industry news. All right.
Good.
All right. Here we go. Oh, hold on. Music. We're having an issue with music. Oh, there. Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait. Wait. There it is. Here it comes.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle bells, Batman smelled, Robin laid an egg. The Batmobile lost the wheel, and the Joker got away.
Okay. You know what? That's a good pick.
Do you
I like
that?
It, yeah. It's not too early in my
no,
mind.
No.
Wow. That was impressive, Chris. So, where does that take us to?
Industry news. Industry news is brought to you by the people against Christmas music in November.
Yes. Yeah. And that is a growing
a
lobby group.
Growing lobby
growing
group,
lobby
yes,
group.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Let's get started here. Industry news. Okay, so.
Is brought to you by. Oh, you already did
said
that.
Okay. Have you? Okay. Now you like Superman and those kind of
sure
guys,
do,
right?
Sure do, Chris.
Okay.
Sure do.
Well, you know what?
Love it.
Have you ever wondered where Krypton is?
Yeah. All the time. All the time.
Well, now
mostly wonder where Klingons come from.
Now you can finally Now you can finally look up in the sky and see Krypton.
It's probably near Uranus, isn't it?
No, that's much closer.
Oh, I see.
So, Neil deGrasse Tyson has actually found a planet that could possibly be the closest thing to Krypton.
Like, for real?
For real. For real. Like, he looked at it, like, figuring out what Krypton would be, and he's found a planet that could be something similar to Krypton.
Right.
So here's a little quote here. It says, the discovery comes after DC Comics reached out to the Hayden Planetarium director, they said one of the staffers—
Find us Krypton, man!
Basically, yeah. Right. And he actually came up with a location. It's that location. It's a red dwarf star. So because it has to be small and it has to blow up eventually, right? So this is a star that could possibly do that. So how long before it actually becomes commonly known as Krypton? Well, it's a red, highly turbulent surface, somewhat cooler and smaller than the sun. So
that is cool.
If you want to go, you can go online and it tells you all. If you want to position your telescope,
yeah,
with all the right ascensions and declinations and all that kind of stuff, you can figure that. I won't tell you what it is because it's far too boring here.
Right.
But yes, you can actually find Krypton in our own universe.
Well, that is cool. See, yes. That is something. You know, first of all, that tells me that the guys at DC have way too much time.
Yeah,
no
kidding. Yeah, yeah.
And
I got an idea. How about you write some good comics?
Yeah. And two is that they got some cash, right?
Because
they're going like, okay, what can we waste our money on? but yeah, this is cool, though. This is kind of like, now, you know, I'm not really that good at the DCU. I was more of a Marvel guy.
Okay, right.
But I guess this would apply to Marvel, too. You know, with the proliferation of pop culture everywhere and all these kind of alien worlds as they've been described and stuff like that. Now, you know, it'd be cool if these scientists now just, you know, this could be the first one.
Right.
But these scientists now, you know, can find, you know, Planet X and find all this and find all that.
Right. Yeah,
and some of the Star Trek planets, whatever.
Yep.
Rather than some sort of old Latin word,
right?
You know, when
right.
we discover, because they're discovering all these new planets now.
Yes,
and this would be a cool way,
absolutely,
as they
make science interesting.
Well,
for
yeah,
a change.
Yeah, they make science interesting, and I guess they bridge it to pop culture too, as they discover the physical attributes of these worlds through
right.
whatever techniques that they use.
Yeah.
They can maybe match them with name to
that
some cool,
know. That's
you
right.
know, comic
that's right.
one that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. This actually reminds me very quickly. Do you remember the cartoon strip The Far Side?
Sure do.
Well, there
Gary
was
Larson.
Gary Larson, right.
No.
I was just going to say. So the entomology, which is the study of insects, they actually awarded Gary Larson his own insect that they discovered, you know, like one of those microbiotic, small little, tiny little bugs, and they called it the Gary Larsoni or something like that. So they
wow.
named a bug after him, basically because he was constantly referring to science and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff yeah. in his cartoons.
Best Gary Larson cartoon ever was the one with the kid's slide. And at the very bottom of the kid's slide, there was the little handles. The handles where the kids can pick themselves up.
Right,
on.
Right.
And there was a spider web across them. And there was these two little spiders on the one thing.
Yeah.
And one goes to the other. If we pull this off, we eat like kings.
Yeah. I also like the one where there's these two guys in the donut shop, and one guy's like the owner, and he's looking all frustrated, and the other guy's like this enormous guy pushing a broom,
uh-huh.
and the owner's like, I don't understand where all of our profits are going.
Yes!
Yes. Anyways.
All right.
Let's move it along here. So, Guy Fawkes Day was a couple days ago, November the 5th. Remember the 5th of November. Remember
Guy Fawkes Day.
Guy
yes,
Fawkes
I read
Day.
Something about Guy Fawkes Day. Way back about 800 years ago.
Well,
remember,
yeah. So in 1605, actually.
400.
So.
Okay.
400.
Guy Fawkes, was it Guy Fawkes and a rebellion? They tried to blow up the
Parliament
British
building.
Parliament
That's right.
and take King James down and
right.
stuff like that. And
right.
so they've – the oh, who celebrates Guy Fawkes Day? Would be the
well,
anti-establishment people? Or
well,
the,
here – okay. For, well, so here's the thing. They
Here's
actually,
the thing.
So they have Guy Fawkes Day in England, and yeah, you know, I say. Danny Champion would probably be a better person to
yeah,
talk to about this.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, they actually celebrate Guy Fawkes Day because he didn't blow up Parliament. So it's kind of like, here's something you didn't do here. Parliament, well, like true Britain,
oh,
will always
I
reign
see.
Kind
right.
of thing.
Okay.
Like,
I misunderstood.
However, having said that, of course, you know that the occupation Occupy movement has taken on the V for Vendetta mask.
Right. Yeah.
So the Guy
yeah.
Fox mask. Right. Well,
the V for Vendetta movie was all about bringing down the authoritarian,
bringing down establishment.
The establishment. Yeah.
That's right. So
stick it to the man.
Exactly. So Alan Moore has decided to release a new song on Guy Fawkes Day. Now, so Alan Moore is, of course, the writer of V for Vendetta and Watchmen and, you know, all that kind of great stuff. So he has actually come up with a new song because he likes to dabble in songs every once in a while.
Does he sing?
Yes. It is his new single, The Decline of English Murder. And he coincides with the Occupation's records.
Chris? Listen to me and listen to me close.
I am.
Okay?
Yeah.
I want that song playing on intermission next week.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. All right. We got to hunt that song down.
Okay. I will do my best.
All right.
Let's.
Well, listen, power to the people and good on Alan Moore for, I guess, you know, trying
being himself.
Well, yeah, or trying to raise a revolt.
Right. He's trying to do something anyways.
Well, you know what? I think he's taken to these Occupy
people. Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah.
And he's lending his... I mean, hey, listen, you know, I love you guys so much, I'm going to write a song for you guys.
That's right.
They're probably going, Alan, please don't.
Please don't. Right. Let's not remember he also did that Duck song, so... I can always play that for you, too.
No. We'll just get this one. It'll be good. All right, let's move along, Chris. This is exciting news that I know you're all excited about.
Well, I don't know if I'm excited about it. But I'm really excited.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Harrison Ford is rumored to want a death clause in... A death clause deal in the next Star Wars 7 that they're talking about making. So basically what he wants is, I'll be in the movie if you kill me.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And I'm reading this, and apparently all the other two principals being Leia and Han. No, and...
And Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
So
what was his character's
name?
Luke, thanks.
Luke.
The talk is that those three are going to be in there, and these are going to be the old actors playing them in older life or something.
It seems to me, so there's a report from Entertainment Weekly that, and they're not, you know, releasing all the information, but apparently they all want to be in the movie. They all want to be in Episode 7.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford is happy to do so as well, because he was always one of the ones that never really was interested in doing a sequel ever. I remember on one of the episodes, Johnny Carson or something like that, years ago, he was asked, you know, did you ever want to be Han Solo again? He said, I find the role kind of limiting, right? So
sure.
He had wanted to initially have Han Solo killed off in Episode 6 in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, George Lucas didn't like that idea, so they kept him alive. But now he's saying, hey, look, this time, if I'm going to be in this movie, I want to die. I want the character to be dead, right? So I guess maybe going down in a blaze of glory or something. Who knows, right?
You know? Sure. Saving Luke and in the last desperate effort. Yeah. Right.
But I find it interesting that Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford are all interested in coming back to these roles.
Well, I honestly don't find it surprising that, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, they haven't had the careers that Harrison Ford has had.
Right.
I don't think Harrison Ford needs this movie, nor does he need the money, to tell you the truth, even though they're going to rake in a ton.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mark Hamill, even though he's been what anybody would deem successful.
I mean, he has done a tons of movies, and he's done tons of voice acting.
Yeah,
I mean,
He
is,
but he still has not had that career that neither has Carrie Fisher.
No, you're right. Right? You're right.
You know, I don't see Han Solo. What's the guy's name?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Thanks. I don't see him at the, you know, Detroit Comic Con. Whereas we did see Carrie Fisher. Now, I'm not saying that just because you go to a Comic Con, you're a has-been. You're not. Maybe, you know, that time in her career, she decided that'd be a cool thing to do.
That's right.
And it made a lot of fans happy. So
absolutely.
Who am I to say, right?
That's right.
But, I think Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill are loving this idea way more than
probably. I don't want to say for sure, but I will say probably.
All right. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to write them in as, like, obviously the movie shouldn't center around them.
No.
Because it's going to project forward, right? They're going to have to introduce
new
characters that we're going to latch onto and stuff. So is it going to be the kids of these people?
I would hope it's the kids. I would hope it'd be like, you know, Han Solo and Leia get together and they have kids and maybe their kids learn the ways of the Force kind
right,
of thing.
Right, that kind
and,
of thing.
And, and Luke's like the old, like the Yoda guy. Like he trains them, you know, like that kind of storyline. And of course, there's going to be a new.
So that's very traditional Star Wars thing. That's what you want because you're a traditional
that's
Star Wars fan.
That's the way I would like to
right.
see it, yes.
Okay.
And there'd be like a new kind of, not a, I don't want to say new Darth Vader, but a new menace that's trying to take over everybody, right?
Yeah, so. I like it. All right. All right, Chris. That's good. Anyway, great news for Star Wars fans.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, let's move on to what you wanted to talk about earlier. And
yeah.
This art relief for Sandy,
so
the Hurricane Sandy.
Two separate eBay auction things going on right now. The first one I wanted to talk about was the Hero Initiative, I believe it's called. And that's the one where they give creators of old-time comic book creators, they kind of help them out where they need money and that kind of thing. And so there's all kinds of great pieces of artwork. And Marvel was nice enough to make sketch covers of Fantastic Four number 400 so that these things would be sold off and they all kinds of great covers. And
is it number 400, Chris?
I think it's 400.
No, 700.
700?
Yeah,
sorry.
I think so.
Yeah, it has to be 700. Yeah. What am I talking about? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I thought. Okay. Anyways.
Anyway. Yep.
And then the other one is this is interesting. Art for Sandy Relief, and so basically there's a Facebook group as well. If you want, you can go to the Facebook group. It's Art for, as in the number 4, and then Relief. And basically, this is an organization that has come up with to help raise funds for the people that have been disenfranchised, or maybe that's not the right word, but who have had come on hard times because of the Sandy storm.
Right, yeah.
So if you want to go to eBay, you can go to eBay and bid on all these. There's awesome pieces of artwork. There's art by John Paul Leon. There's art by Stuart Immonen. There's all kinds of great, phenomenal pieces of artwork out there. And you know what? It's a great cause to help these people who are, you know, going through some hard times because of Sandy.
Yeah, no, this is a great idea. I mean, it's obviously the power of the comic book community, I guess, rising to the occasion.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
I mean, you're hearing after Sandy, you're hearing on the news of all these scams and stuff coming up. And I'm not, obviously, this is not a scam, obviously. But it just kind of triggered something. Like, what mechanism... You know, you'd want to, like, what mechanism, like, how much of the proceeds go to the victims of Sandy?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Right. I don't know.
Right.
You
okay.
know, I have no idea. And we may never know. All I can say is that the proceeds are supposed to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if you could read the fine print. I didn't read the fine print.
Right.
Where maybe it says 100% of the proceeds.
Sure.
Or whatever.
I mean, and if you're an art fan, I guess doing this would probably be a tax write-off.
Right. I would hope so, yes.
So that's
yes.
good for the buyer,
yeah.
right?
And you're going to get a chance to buy some original artwork that, you know, you might not ever get a chance to see again. Because sometimes these creators, they step up to the plate and they do some really great stuff, more so than you would get at a convention for a quick sketch, right?
Right.
So, you know,
right.
you're probably paying more because it's a premium, because it's like an eBay auction. But the chances are the art is going to be a lot better.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, let's...
That's Art for Sandy, and they should just Google it.
Yeah, Google Art for Sandy, and there is a Facebook page. As I said, it's Art, so it's ART, and then 4, the number 4, and then Art for Relief, not Art
right.
for Sandy, Art
okay.
for Relief.
Right.
So check that out, and maybe put a bid on something that's interesting. All right. Let's you know what, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and we'll come right back.
Pyramid, he saw a lie. Metamorpho, metamorpho.
love those licks. Chris, love those licks.
You know, that's one we don't play often enough.
I love that song. That is a great tune. All right, Chris, let's keep moving on with industry news.
Industry news. Well, this is kind of a bit of trailer trash.
Yes, it is.
We didn't have this at the beginning of the show, but we probably should have. For
Too
those
late
of,
for that now.
Well, you know, I probably should have thought of that earlier.
All right, keep it moving.
However,
nothing to see here.
So, for those of you who are interested in the new Iron Man 3 movie, MarvelComics.com has released a clearer vision of what the Mandarin is going to look like.
Yeah.
So the Mandarin is going to be the new evil villain for Iron Man 3. And, of course, Ben Kingsley is going to be playing the Mandarin.
Right.
And he's got all of his rings.
So there were pictures of the Mandarin before. But if you go to Marvel.com, you'll see a better
picture.
There's
a better picture. Well, the other ones were like little flash quick pictures. And even then, I don't think you saw the full what Ben Kingsley's his full garb kind of thing,
right,
what he really looks
right.
like. And now you can actually see he's got all the rings and he looks like the Mandarin. And go ahead.
Now, like, what do you think of the Mandarin being Iron Man compared to a lot of the other Marvel guys?
Yeah.
His kind of villain's robe.
Right.
It was never as good as a lot of the
right.
other villains.
I completely right. agree. And as I've often said, in order to have a really great hero, sometimes you have to have great villains. Like, you have to have a great
that's
cast.
What always stopped Iron Man in the old days.
Yeah.
Is like the lineup of, okay, Whiplash and
yeah, you got Whiplash, you got
what's the guy with the Gladiator?
Gladiator, yeah.
You know, Mandarin's probably the best
Mandarin,
one, really.
Titanium Man.
Yeah. I don't know. I just they never measured up to guys like the Goblin and the Rhino and stuff
Doc
like that,
Ock.
Right? Doc
Ock.
And, I mean, even the FF with Doctor Doom and
stuff
like that.
You're right.
It just never added up.
No, I completely agree. But I think of Iron Man's roster of villains, of who he could possibly go up against, you know, Titanium Man to me would probably be the most logical one, especially after the first one. You know, because it's kind of like a radioactive kind of version of what Iron Man is. But you know what? They made the second one. They had kind of the Whiplash type character.
Sure.
You know what? Mandarin, I think he's the right choice. I think he's, you know, I think he's where we want the kind of evil character we want to see. Now, what else? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think you're wrong. There. I said
Well, you
it.
Certainly have your opinion.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm saying this is when you kind of think about it, the Mandarin is a pick within Iron Man's roster in comicdom.
Right.
Okay. That will, you know, be kind of appreciated or followed by comic book fans.
Right.
I'm pretty confident in saying that, you know, 80% of the people that go see Iron Man aren't Iron Man comic book fans.
Okay, that's fine.
So,
that's fair.
And Marvel is flexing its muscles in terms of its Marvel lineup of characters and you know the whole stable of 5,000 characters
and stuff like
that. And there are some fantastic, great villains out there that Iron Man has fought through with the Avengers,
maybe
as a team up with Spidey.
So you're saying that they shouldn't have been.
I don't think they should have been limited to looking at, you know, in the canon, who was Iron Man villain.
So you don't think that on the flip side, you don't think that DC should have used Ra's al Ghul or Bane in their movies because really, you know, if you want to go to classic characters, Batman only has, you know, Joker, Catwoman, Penguin, Riddler, but they in the first movie they brought out Ra's al Ghul and in the last movie they brought out Bane.
Oh, hold on. No.
Yes.
No, you're wrong.
I don't believe I am.
You know what? Hello, Chris.
Yes. Oh, please go ahead.
You dug yourself a hole.
Go ahead,
can
please.
You hear me?
Enlighten me.
Right. Ra's al Ghul and Bane.
Yeah.
Were massively popular villains. I don't mean chronological. I don't mean it has to be a Daredevil villain from Daredevil.
Daredevil, Batman?
Batman.
Iron Man. Okay.
I don't think it has to be a villain from the 60s.
But
if Iron Man had a great villain introduced in the 80s, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me finish. You're going
All right. Go ahead.
If Iron Man had a great villain introduced in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, use him because he's super popular. Like Bane and Ra's al Ghul were very popular Batman villains.
No. You mentioned earlier that based on the popularity of the character, and Bane and Ra's al Ghul were not popular characters beyond the comic book reader. You said that you said 80% of the people that went that would go to comic book to Iron Man, see Iron Man movie, would not know who Mandarin is.
Okay.
80% of the let me finish. Yeah. 80% of the people that went to go see Batman did not know who Ra's al Ghul or Bane were was.
Okay. All right. Let me explain this again. Okay, get a pen and a paper. All right. Let me explain this again. You and I both agreed that the Iron Man villains are relatively weak.
Yes,
in terms of
what
to choose from.
Right, I agree, yes.
Now, when Spider-Man fought Doc Ock in the movie,
right.
Not many people outside the comicdom knew who Doc Ock was.
Doc Ock, yes.
My point is they use them. Most of these villains are only a few villains, like the Joker can transcend comics. But most of the villains were good.
Okay.
Like we're good. Ra's al Ghul was good. It was a good villain.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yes.
Bane was like a classic.
You didn't
villain.
Explain that very well the first time.
Okay. I'm sorry. So I'm just saying that perhaps Marvel could have dug up a villain that Daredevil. Iron Man. Yeah. Had come up with in his career.
Okay. So did you like the first Iron Man movie? Did you see it?
Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
And who was the major villain in that one?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. That's the problem with that. Yeah. Yet it was a great movie. Yet no, you know what? There really wasn't.
Why you
got
through that?
A major villain.
Why you got through that? My face.
Because the Ironmonger. Who cares? Right.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Everything I've said is wrong. You're right. What do you want? What do you want from me? All right, I give up.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm saying that they're moving toward the villains. They're moving towards trying to sell, the villains now.
Right.
Like, the first movie, I think, was more of an Iron Man introduction.
Right.
Because he was a B-lister, C-lister. Let's introduce Iron Man.
Yeah.
I think, the villain wasn't. And then now Iron Man's established. Now they got to throw these classic villains at him.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I understand where Marvel's at. They're trying to go with strictly Iron Man villains, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Now my question to you is, above and beyond all that,
yeah.
So Mandarin is clearly not of Caucasian descent.
No.
I don't know what he is. I know in the original
Chinese,
the original movie, in the original comics, he's supposed to be Chinese. I don't know what he is in the movie.
Right.
Should Ben Kingsley, who's a British actor, be playing that kind of character? Or should they not get a person of that descent?
I think we've talked about this before on the show in reverse profiling.
Right.
In the sense of there was the black actor that played in the Thor movie.
In the Thor movie.
He wasn't black in the comics. Should he be in the Thor movie?
But he was great.
He was awesome, and the movie was great. So I think that movie and then that whole thing has blown through. I don't think there should be a backlash, especially for the comic books, because it is I don't know if you know about this. There was a interesting thing on the radio a couple of weeks ago where there was a huge cultural backlash in the United States, an academic backlash as well, with the Nina Simone story. Now, Nina Simone was like a super famous black singer in the 50s and 60s, and she was like, black.
Right.
And the young actress that they're portraying, that they want to portray Nina Simone, is not as black.
Oh, right? Okay.
And a whole bunch of people in the United States took offense to this, and they made a lot of radio shows and made newspapers because I think they were trying to water down, was their word. She was like a powerful black woman, Afro type black woman, and you want to make her into this kind of Beyonce type woman,
and this isn't what it's about. Yeah.
And I guess the studio wanted attractive hybrid type of thing,
right.
So that's obviously a hot topic
absolutely.
And I don't know Ben Kingsley, he's such a classic actor.
He's a great actor. I mean, and I know he has portrayed Obviously, he was Gandhi years ago, like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and he was in a movie where he was, I think, Iranian. So, and he had to, apparently he spoke Farsi, which is the Iranian language.
Yes.
And I have friends who are Iranian, and they said that he spoke it perfectly.
Right.
You know. So here's a guy that is a phenomenal actor, can do all different types of ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you might say, well, why not? Right.
Perfect. He's perfect for the
Mandarin. Perfect for the role. Perfect. Yeah. Great actor. Why not? So,
right.
You know what? I'm of two minds on that.
You know what, though? I'm a fan of the Mandarin.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
I love the hot little towels you get at the end.
I love the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Chris. Let's move it along.
Okay. That was a...
Hey, speaking of that, we're on the same subject. So how about this Jamie Foxx?
Jamie Foxx. He's a good actor.
Great actor. So they're pegging him, perhaps, as... Electro in Spider-Man 2.
Well, okay, no, here we go again.
Here we go again. Electro.
Electro.
Was not African-American.
But yeah, you know what? Why not? Jamie Foxx is a great actor.
Yeah.
He's great as both in comedic roles and in dramatic roles.
Yeah.
And I think he would be great in Electro because he can probably bring a little bit of comedy and a little bit of sarcasm to the character while having enough dramatic ability to make it real.
Yeah. And right? You know what? Jamie Foxx... Immediately when I thought of Jamie Foxx, and I remember the old Ditko Electro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got the body type.
Yes, absolutely, you know, he does, yeah.
Like tall, lanky.
Lanky kind of character, yeah.
Muscular, but lanky muscular, right?
Yep.
And I go, yeah, it'd be a great Electro.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I completely agree.
That is, I guess they're talking about May 2nd, 2014 release for Spider-Man 2.
I like how it says here, he dressed up as Electro for Halloween.
Getting into the role. My initial when I heard about the next Spider-Man movie, I thought that they were doing they were going to do the death of Gwen Stacy story in that.
Now apparently they're going to. Apparently they're still going to have the death of Gwen Stacy. Maybe they're rewriting history. Maybe it's going to be Electro who kills Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Or maybe Electro is going to be involved, but maybe it's still going to be Green Goblin.
I hope they don't do what they did. You know, when you're doing Spider-Man like that, I think, you know, like, focus the story on the main villain.
Yeah.
And because remember they did in Spider-Man 3, the first Spider-Man, they had Venom written in at the end.
And there was Sandman in there, I think.
And it just it was almost two different stories.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be all Sandman, but then apparently the producers want to put in Venom because he was hot and popular.
For the young guys and stuff. Yeah. And it didn't work.
No, it really didn't.
And so I'm hoping that they don't try the same thing here. I mean, listen.
I don't think they're going to. I would really hope they don't just throw in Electro for the sake of throwing an Electro, or I certainly hope they don't kill off Gwen Stacy just because they want to bring in Mary Jane Watson,
right?
So because that would make it even worse.
I think if you're going to, this is just me talking, like just my opinion. If you're going to kill off Gwen Stacy in a movie,
yes,
you should frame it around the classic death issues of Spider-Man.
I completely agree. Yeah, yeah, I completely agree.
So you're basically paying homage to the actual story.
Well, I think sometimes we have to remember the reason why these stories were so popular is that they were really good stories.
Yeah.
I mean, these comics did very well because they were good stories, and there was a tone that hit with a lot of people who read the stories at the time and they enjoyed them. And so I think sometimes people forget that when they're making these movies, they think, "Oh, well, I like the idea of Gwen Stacy being killed, but let's have my favorite character, the Rhino, kill him."
Right. Yeah.
You know. And they just think of the ideas as being good, but not necessarily the whole. And I think it's like that synergy, right? You have to make sure that all the ideas are meshing together.
Well, and the good part about it, and I think Disney's smart enough to realize that, hey, let's make our video game option, comic book option, movie option, let's make it all sync.
Let's make the canon kind of
transfer over onto film and into video games.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. All right, well, let's have a quick musical interlude here. And this is one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. Do you remember this one? This is Thundar the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Thundar the Barbarian. The year 1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet hurtling between the Earth and the Moon, unleashing cosmic destruction. Civilization is cast in ruin. 2,000 years later, Earth is reborn. A strange new world rises from the old. A world of savagery, super science, and sorcery. But one man bursts his bonds to fight for justice. With his companions, Ookla the Mock and Princess Ariel, he pits his strength, his courage, and his fabulous sun sword against the forces of evil. He is Thundar, the Barbarian.
All right, did you like that one, Walt?
Thundar, the Barbarian. You know, that was past my time.
Yes. Well, yeah. You would have been a little bit too old for that. Yeah. But that was like perfect for me. Right in the zone. Right, a little kid, and I loved that cartoon. That was one of those cartoons where I had to race home no matter where I was to see it. Like I just couldn't wait to see it.
Good for you, Owen. Good for you.
And oddly enough, character designs by Jack Kirby and stories written by Steve Gerber. Now, in case you weren't too sure,
the guy that made the baby food.
That's right. Yeah. No, Steve Gerber. He wrote Howard the Duck.
Oh right, yeah, that was terrible.
Oh come on now, don't be like that.
Right. Well, the movie was anyway.
All right,
let's keep it moving, Chris. Hey, so actually, you emailed this to me earlier yesterday, I think.
I did.
Yeah.
All right.
This thing about the new Justice League of America comic by Geoff Johns and David Finch. That's coming out is going to be released with 52 variant covers.
This is ridiculous.
52.
52, yeah.
52. One representing each state in the Union of the United States.
Oh, well, of course, this is all election year, right?
Yeah, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico.
Right, right.
Now, Chris, I know that, you know, the variants have kind of, you know, like you and I have made fun of variants in the past on the show and how it's like smells of the 90s and
yeah,
stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
But people are buying variants. These dumb 1 in 200 variants are still getting a couple hundred bucks on eBay when they get put up. You know, the DC is responding to the customer demand for variants.
Well, absolutely.
And yet, I think retailers, the local comic shop, is getting fatigued.
Oh, absolutely.
By variants. Yeah, it's like every single solicitation is, you know, you meet 110% of this order, and we'll give you this variant. It's like, oh, God, okay. So you got to get the stupid calculator out, right? Yeah. It's okay. So I'm going to have like 40 or 50 that won't sell.
Yeah.
But right. I can sell this for $50, so it's like I get them for free or something like that.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that with 52 covers – there are some people out there that will want all 52 of them, right?
Yeah, but you put the local comic book shop in a precarious position.
Right.
Because these things aren't returnable.
No.
And as a local comic shop, you're torn between two lovers.
Right.
Feeling like a fool.
Yes.
Because you know loving both of them is breaking all the rules.
I'm pretty sure you just – I don't know if you made that up or if that was like a song.
That's a real bad 70s song, right. Yeah. So my point, though, is you don't want to disappoint.
No.
But you also don't want to stick your neck out on the line.
Right.
Because, you know, like margins are tight at local comic shops.
Right.
You know, you got overhead. You got to sell this stuff.
Yep,
you got to sell this stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to be a schmuck if I don't order every one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have disappointed customers.
That's right.
And they may drive across town to go to another shop to do it. But if I order every one of them and they don't sell, I'm stuck with a whole bunch of them.
I've been out of the retail end of comics for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Now,
thankfully.
Hey, didn't you fire me about 85 times?
Three times.
Now, when Can a person, say Joe Schmo comes in off the street, can he just come up and say, hey, you know what, will you please get me all 52 covers? Like, and then, like, what happens then? Does that mean you have to order a bazillion of the
Well, you can say yeah. You can say yeah. I don't think that's the issue as much, because what happens is usually, especially on these, say, 1 in 200 variants,
right.
If somebody wants a 1 in 200 variant and it's pre-sold and I don't know what you get for these things, $100-something or whatever, then you can pretty well do the math right away and make the decision. Okay,
right.
You know, I'm going to sell, you know, I'm confident I'm going to sell 110.
Right.
I'm going to eat 90. They cost about $2 or $2.50 each.
Right.
But this guy's paying $200, so these 90 will be free, or I'll pay 10 cents each for them.
Right.
So I'll do it.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. I think the 52 I think the variant thing is too, like, people are going to want to make that decision when they come in as well. So I think, I don't know what the split is. It's like every 10 you get a variant or every 25. It doesn't say here.
Right.
So I don't know what the potential, how many variants you can possibly get. Because if you get four guys committing to all 52.
Right.
And they're one in 100.
Yeah. Then
you might not want to go that far.
No, you're right. And and I'm sure there'll be some that are going to be an even split, right? Like there might be, say, four comics that are going to have 25% each or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or 22%.
Like yeah.
And then you're going to get the rest of them coming out like one in every 10 issues. And there'll be one in every 50 and one in every 200.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And I'm sure those are the ones that are going to be tough for the retailer because, as you say, how is the retailer supposed to think, well, if I order 1,000 of these things and I'll get 25 of the hard to get variants, but the 25 that are hard to get, I can sell them for $100 each. So then that's $2,500. So that's going to pay for the 1,000 that I got, which makes the other ones free. Yeah. But yeah.
So they're putting us through this, and I just don't know. It's a lot of work. And there is risk.
Absolutely.
And I don't think Marvel and DC should be pushing risky type stuff on retail.
Well, okay, so can they not? Why can't – now, I think the answer to this one is an easy one, but it's not one that Marvel and DC will like, is make them returnable. Make the extra issues returnable. Makes it like, but you have to return the variants with the actual issues,
right? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if you order 100 of them, you don't sell the variant. If you only sell the variant, well, then you're stuck with that 100. But if you don't sell it, then you can return.
Logistics
them.
There too, right? That's another function that a local comic shop isn't used to doing is processing returns.
Right.
It's all labor intensive, time intensive. You know, there's costs associated with that too in terms of shipping back and stuff. So I don't know. You know, but I don't know. I'm just saying that you know, the variant craze has obviously grown and grown to this point.
Yes. You know, see, and this is where I like the idea of the sketch cover more than the variant covers. Why not have, you know, a different sketch cover in every bundle of 100? Because then at least there's only one that you have to try to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a unique piece of artwork now, right? So why not?
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, I'm sure you and I have talked some sense.
Well, as always,
into DC.
We are the voice of reason.
We are the voice of reason. All right, Chris.
I think that's all the time that we have for today, Walt.
All right.
I think we're out of time. How much? What do we got? We're all out of time.
All right.
I'll hand it over to you.
Okay. So why don't you read this? Well, I think that's all the time
I thought I already did that.
Okay.
So wait. So that is all the time that we have for today.
Well said, Chris.
Thank you.
Hey, Comic Culture, produced by Anthony Falcone. Engineered by our young buck, Andrew Roebuck, over here to my left. And for comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, and add your comments. Also, listen to us at getthepointradio.com and, of course, the podcast at comicbookdaily.com.
And remember, when you're going to shave your stash, shave wisely.
Yes, but don't shave until December.
Exactly.
And celebrate that new Christmas music that's coming in.
Christmas stash music.
Listen,
we got to come up with Movember Christmas.
Yes,
Movember
do.
Music.
Yes, we do.
All right.
Hey, go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.